Gordon the Cloud. There we go. Cool. All right. Hey, everybody. I had somebody in here to use my studio for a few days, and I come in, and everything was, yeah, it was just adjusted for them. So it was a bit of a problem. So sorry about being a minute late here. All right. We're ready to dig into week 8. I listened to it this morning, which I love doing, and I think, damn, that's good. But I found that one line that was hanging to me. We had the it was like the ultimate cliffhanger. Greg, I think, found it first.
It was like, oh, and the meaning of life is,
yeah, exactly. So I'm stretching out this morning, and I had it on my headphones. I'm like, oh, that's what that thread's about.
I wasn't calling you out. I thought it was funny, but
that was really funny. It was very subtle too, because I didn't get it. So that's one of those. It was like an Easter egg. Yeah, it was really good.
Felt like some sort of test.
Well, welcome everybody. So we talked about the holiday funnel, which was great timing. We talked about pricing, and we talked about producers. And then this week we've had interviews from 3 producers. Are those already out, I think, right? Did you guys get a chance to listen through those or start those? No?
Where is I heard that? I got to listen to the video, but not to the other producer.
Oh.
God. I didn't see the 3 producers part.
What's today? Tuesday? Oh, you know what? That's in tomorrow. I'm positive that's for tomorrow's homework. But yeah, that's
the muse over this thing today, which was excellent.
Okay, good, good. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was looking it up on mine, and I know that I. Let's see, is this thing happening? Oh no, I'm in the wrong. One second.
Where is the producers thing?
It's not up yet.
No, yeah. It's not up yet. That's what I thought too.
It will. Thank you. Sorry about that. And I think I was looking ahead. I have the why isn't this working? Oh, I see. Man. Oh, Dan, anyone who has a studio, you guys probably know this, man. Someone comes in and uses it. And it's, oh my gosh.
Cords everywhere.
Nothing is the same. It's
sticky pianos. I hate it.
My whole goal in building studio was to come in and like hit 4 light buttons and have things come on and never have to change anything else. But yes, once in a while someone uses it. Yeah, so, oh, here it is. That's wrong. Yeah, so this in week 8, there are, I think it was the homework on day 3, and that's probably today. And there's probably coming out. Yep, yeah, so this is good. Producer start, and then there's, wow, these are great. So a couple other calls with, I think, 2 or 3 producers on here. Yep. So 3 producers. And, you know, that was all about talking about how we can leverage, how we can use multipliers of producers to make our business even bigger and better. You know, that's as much as a fan as I am of the outbound marketing, it's not to be overlooked. So I don't want us ever to do that. So good. Let me dig in kind of with a check-in like I had written on the post last night. I'd just like to hear kind of challenges, successes, failures, no's you've collected, yeses you've gotten, kind of anything that's going on right now that we can bring into the group consciousness and let people know, you know, for one, they're not alone. And for two, if you have something going on that's a success or a failure, let's look at it.
I'll jump right into it. Oh my God, how I struggle with Fiverr, man. Everybody I hired so far is so crap. They are just time consuming and take days to get back to me, and every time they got something back to me, it's worse than what I have. It's like literally I haven't had any success at all with my outsourcing. It's just been
really okay
a headache because
what are you doing when you look on Fiverr, Hans? I wonder if are you sorting people by reviews or looking for people with good reviews? Are you doing the
100 reviews plus mostly?
What's that? I'm sorry.
100 you, 3 of them. So I used both. I tried Newbies and like did 100 reviews. Yeah, reviews plus. My throat is sore today.
What are you trying to do? What are you trying to get done on Fiverr?
I want to make my CDI better. So I'm making the keynote. I'm sending the keynote. I want the keynote to become more professional, for example.
Gotcha. The keynote presentation to do that and have that come out really better. Okay.
I made mine is okay. I spoke to some friends, you know, in in the industry, we use a lot of Keynote for that. You know, they're like, well, this is nice, but it's just, it's not professional. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll send it away. And I send it to people, and they, guys in India and China and stuff, they do not, if they ain't in the business world, they do not know what a professional looking CVI is, even though they know the science. It seems
gotcha. Like. Okay.
They're trying to tweak it and do so much stuff. And I just know, I just want a clean thing, you know, and it's
so you have the content and you're just, your want is to have somebody make it like just come alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna point out, if the last guy now doesn't deliver, I will go tomorrow and I just buy a template and do myself, because, you know, I would have done it in a couple of hours, so I did it myself.
Hey, Hans, send it to me. I'll take a crack at it.
Oh.
No charge.
Well. Yeah, and I know Greg has a you have some strong opinions about how to do this stuff and make it pop out, man. I'd love to see that. Yeah, so
I can go through it pretty quickly and probably make it decent. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's what's weird. You know, I think these guys on Fiverr should be able to do this like in half an hour maximum, you know? And they've been like, it's been literally been terrible. And it's not that I cannot do it myself. I just like, okay, I'll try to get this
right
away.
Yeah, and like, complete, man. Yeah. I don't think, I can't think of one thing that I outsource on a regular basis that I can't do myself. That's not the point, you know? The point is to empower others to free us up from that task for our business. Hey, Miguel, good to see you, man. You haven't been on in a while. You on a ship?
No, I got home early Sunday morning, and me and my wife leave Friday to Barcelona for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Good, man. Nice. Damn, good for you, man. Well, thanks for spending a few of the precious hours here. I know you're not home much, so.
Right, no worries. Glad to be here.
Good, I want to hear, check in with you. Well, good, okay, hey, Hans, so you've tried a few people. Getting a keynote presentation to look good and fancy. Are they coming back like worse than you send them out? Or yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. It may not be.
It's obviously they don't know what, you know, a professional clean thing is. You know, they are trying to make it so fancy that it's just like pointless.
Yep.
They have a tendency. Every single one. I have like a logo. Meet Hans Kron and my logo under. And every single one has flipped those around. Then it comes. I'm like, why do you do this? Why
what
do you?
Hell? Yeah.
You know, that's what I ask you to do. I'm like, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Okay.
Four times. Literally four times.
God dang. I wonder if they're getting shoved to the same person. All right. Well, I take Greg up on his generous offer. And if not, maybe look for a higher end person on Upwork who's doing professional. Did you look on there, on Upwork?
Yeah. You know, actually, I won an Upwork. She was good, it seemed like. And then she refused to do an Upwork suddenly because, you know, and I spent a day haggling back and forth. She didn't want to do an Upwork. She wouldn't get paid directly by PayPal because they took too much commission. I'm like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just, and I just stopped. You know, that's what that's not why I'm there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, so I'm going to roll that one around my brain. Greg's offering something to look at it too, and let's just let me see if I can come up with something as well. I got it on my notes here, and I'll take a peek at it. Who else has something that's going on? Either success, challenge, failure.
So jump in, Greg. I had a minor success. I posted it. It was I got a cool review that I asked for, and I got back, so that was cool. But I made a contact with these marketing managers of this. I think I talked about it, the Artisan Fleas. It's like a kind of a flea market in Brooklyn.
Right.
And then I talked to one of their one of their managers of their other locations, and they definitely want to use me for an event. And I'm booked the weekend that they want to use me. So that's happened to me a couple times now where I have something already booked and then something else comes along. And so, you know, of course I have people that I can throw the stuff to.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't want to throw it to them.
I know.
Because then, even if I'm friends with them, sometimes they're, you know how people are sometimes. It's like they take it and then I don't hear what happened or, you know, for the next time that they call. So how do you handle that? Are you really direct with people and say, look, or do you have, or do you book through you, or, you know, what's your move on that?
You know? Yeah. And when you say they disappear, do you mean, were you expecting some kind of a finder's fee, or do you want the client?
No, not a finder's fee, but if they, you know, like for instance, if I call up, if I say, hey, look, I can't do this party. It, you know, it pays $1,000, and then you do the party and they really like it. And then the next time they call, I would expect you to throw it back to me.
I got you. Is that clear? Are you making that a clear expectation of
No, I guess I haven't, but I guess maybe I should, you know.
You know, it's funny sometimes, and I don't know how old you guys are, where you're at. You know, there's a couple people who I know are my age, and I don't know when it happened, but it dawned on me that most of the expectations that weren't met in my life were set up when I didn't make the expectations clear. And I don't know exactly when it happened at what age, but I just became very clear on, like, these are the expectations I have about this.
But I don't even know, should I have that expectation even, you know, because, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm throwing the gig to somebody, then I should just, I feel like, all right, part of me feels like, all right, I'm throwing him the gig. I'll just assume that when something comes along that they can't do, they'll throw it back at me.
Yeah. How do you know that's not happening? Maybe they're
telling. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being neurotic. I don't know.
Can I chime in on this for a minute?
Yeah, jump in, Bobby, please.
You know, my whole agency started because I couldn't do a party one time for a Christmas event. And they called me the following year and I was already booked. And they said, well, do you have anybody else you could send? And I scratched my head for a minute and I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Let me make a few calls and get back to you. Man, if I were you, you get the client, book somebody, make 20% or 15 or 25, whatever you can manage, and then you keep this.
Hey, hold on, Bobby. Take a breath for a second. Hold on a second. I'm going to mute everybody because we're getting a lot of feedback, and then I'm going to unmute you. Mute all. Boom. And let me just unmute you. Yeah. Go ahead and finish that. And you guys unmute yourselves when you're ready to talk.
Anyways, yeah, I mean, I've built a whole career out of it. And what I earn now compared to what just performing is significant in just booking things, you know. And you keep the client, you keep the artist. You do have to do some babysitting and maintain that, you know, make sure that the artists show up and understand that the artist's got to pass out your card if anybody asks or whatever. But I don't know why everybody doesn't do that, because the hardest part about this whole thing, as we all know, and that's why we're here, is finding clients and then retaining clients, you know, and that's part of the beauty of this funnel and all of that stuff.
So, yeah, I've thought about doing that. So I could talk to you on the side and get some.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to share any.
I just made this great executive decision that Bobby is going to be our first master class in the alumni group, just talking about this issue. Because, man, I love that you've done it. You've thought about it. We all have access to that. And, you know, you figured out some systems. So I'm going to ask you formally to come on and do a master class for the alumni group when we go into that. Man, it's great. They're really good classes.
Hey, Bobby, I'll need a cut of that because it was my question that spurred.
Boom.
I'll take 15.
He's already in my funnel, though.
And there's the magic.
And yeah. I'll just finish by saying my little win this week was that this Mago has been a pain in the ass for me to wrap my head around it. I'm not very good with technology, but I've been chipping away a little at a time on it. And I finally managed to do a contract through it and score a gig and have it all get automated and receive the payment through PayPal without having to do anything, which was really cool. So it's a lot of work up front, but once they're in the system, I think it's pretty easy.
Oh man, I love it. I know Tom posted something about a similar thing like that happening to him today, or, you know, letting Mago drive the whole piece. So, you know, wonderful, you guys. You're in it on the edge of what it looks like to have a lot of stuff that you don't need to be doing every single time automated and feel that. And man, congratulations for sticking with it. I know it's easy.
Yeah, thanks. For me, this is like my big win with this whole being involved in this group. One of the biggest things I've needed to do was just get all my stuff consolidated, because I got databases and contract. I got everything spread out, and I need to get everything centralized and more organized. So for me, if I get nothing else out of this course, that's really helping to move it forward for me. Of course, I got a lot of other value out of the course, but that's a big one for me.
Yeah, that's, hey, you know, it's funny when you're using your time to try and do more than you have hours in the day, the automation stuff, that's scalable stuff that you can't buy back. So I really want that to work for you. And I want it to be one of the millions of things, actually, not one of the, that you take away from here. All right. Who else? Anyone else who we could do a check-in with and kind of hear? Yeah, Sora, jump in. Back in the land of internet.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I've been without internet for like 3 weeks. It's been kind of nuts. So, Barry, I emailed you about this, but I don't know if it's relevant. I hope it's relevant. If it's not, we can discuss it later. But I'm kind of struggling with a client right now. They contacted us about a festival, and I actually posted the good news on Facebook, right? Like, standing in my power, and, you know, like, it wasn't a perfect situation, but it was the best outcome that could have come from it. And now this guy is coming back, and he, like, we're going back and forth with contracts. So I don't know if you ever do the dual contract thing, where we each send each other our contracts. I don't do it that often.
I've never done that. Yeah.
You've never done that. So, he says, you know, you have to sign our contract. And then I said, well, I need our, you know, like, I need you to look at our contract and sign it as well, because we have expectations set forth in here. And what he's saying is, well, you know, sign our contract first, and then I'll pass it on to our president, and he can look at everything and sign everything. So it's kind of like, well, sign ours first, and then we'll look at yours.
This is awesome, this book. And I'm going to hook you up with this guy right after the call. He's an alumni, Todd Newfield. I don't know if you guys have this book. It's called Sign Here. He's an attorney, but also a Showbiz Blueprint alumni, and amazing guy. And this book is packed with this. And I'm going to hook you up right after this, and he'll talk you through that.
Cool.
Great guy. Yeah, he's the one to do this. Yeah, this is good. Great book. Yep. Okay. Cool. Let me put a note in my.
What's the name of the book?
Sign Here by Todd Newfield. Neufeld, I believe.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Oh, also, this guy is refusing to pay a deposit. He says our company, it's a company policy, we never pay deposits, which makes me really nervous and also feels like a power move to me, though I could be misconstruing that. I don't know if this is normal, but this is a major company here. This is like a major, major, major company. They're like a racing track. So I can't imagine that they would never pay deposits.
No, they're paying deposits. They're definitely paying deposits to people.
So do I have to walk away from this again? Is this like a point where there's like two major things happening here, and I don't know if it's time to walk away again.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Let me, I read through this and I thought about it once, and I have it on the screen here, and I need to kind of think about what you should actually do here. You know, it's never a bad time to kind of power up and play it like you want. And there's just conflicts here, but I don't want to tell you to do that yet, because I know this would be a great gig for you guys. So let's figure out a way to make this work. I think we can figure this out, and I will get you some pointed feedback on this later. Give a quick story of this to a couple people, just do it in a handful of sentences. Because I want to read through and see if I can offer something that'll help everybody on this.
Do you want like the whole story, the backstory?
Tell people a little bit about what's happening. Because there's going to be a time when we're all facing this exact thing, and maybe we can just solve it for 30 people now instead of.
All right, guys, hunker down. This is a story.
Here's the ugliness.
This guy contacted us and said, "Hey, we want your duo show with the Aerials, the Superstar Super Show." And we got back to them and said, rate 5,000 for the, and he's, I think I quoted 5,000. Anyways, so he came back and he's like, oh, no, that won't work. I'll offer you 34 for the weekend. And I said, you know, oh, I'm sorry, that's a bit too low. How about we do 2 shows per day instead of 3 shows per day? And I quoted really low, guys. Like, I'm not really proud of this. I said, yep. How about 3,800? You know, we could do 2 shows per day and, you know, for the weekend. And he came back and he's like, no, 34 is my last offer. I said, and so then at this point I had been talking to Barry and he said, you know, your decision, you're here, probably shouldn't have negotiated in the first place, but your call. And so I said, hey, look, I'm really sorry. We can't give you everything that you want for 3,400. I look forward to working with you when neither of us have to compromise. So Barry's famous line. And then 10 days later, he got back to us and said, hey, are you still available? We want the 2 shows for $3,800. And by this time, I was like, no, I'm good. So I said, look, I'm not available anymore. Oh, I had also passed, sorry, going back, offered Josh's solo show as a less expensive option. So I said, you know, Josh's solo show, we won't bring the aerial rig. You could take that. And he said no to both options. And so 10 days later, he said, are you still available? I said, no, but Josh still is. And you can have him for 3,000 for the weekend. And so he said, great. And so that's where we've landed now. And so now he, you know, with the contracts and no deposit.
Gotcha.
So I feel like this whole time he's been playing power games with me. And I have a really hard time when people start playing that because I have the tendency to kind of like roll over and be like, oh, sure, fine.
Yeah, I'm not letting you do that. No. So here's the thing. This is a lot of power play. It's like, and he may need his contract signed. I get that. You know, they're doing this at a place where there's other entities involved. And there's nothing wrong with dual signing a contract. I just don't know all the specifics of it, Sora, and I'd be a little cautious of it. You know, which one, if there are conflicting items in there, which one has priority. So talk to Todd about this. It'll be great. He'll have a good thing. In fact, I'll have him talk about it inside the alumni group, inside of the 18 group. I'll bring him in on that.
Hey, and I don't know. I not helpful. It's just an opinion. It sounds like there's a committee meeting happening after every time they email you. If it's taken 10 days between them hearing something, there's something else. You know, it's like there's, it sounds like a very small organization is playing big, but is a bit nervous of the whole thing. That's how it sounds anyway.
Yeah.
They're abrasive. So like they're a pretty big deal in the area. I don't know if this guy is just super busy or if he's just blowing this whole thing off until it's too late. You know, like I don't really know. I know that there's a president, someone above him that he has to answer to, but
I'll tell you something pretty cool. He never in the wildest dreams, and I love the reaction of this, saw that coming when you would just say, hey, let's do this another time when neither of us need to compromise. Man, that throws such a monkey wrench in the spokes of Control Freaks. It's so great. It's almost like
speaking of power play.
Yeah, you can almost feel the backpedaling. It's so fun.
Well, I have two little ideas. It might be because I have to sign dual contracts all the time. Sometimes awesome. It works. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when I have somebody that I've worked with, then it's not a problem because we have a level of trust. When you haven't worked together, you have to sometimes give a little to get a little. You have to establish trust. But just to, when it comes down to a power play like this, in your contract, you could create a clause in there that basically says your contract supersedes any and all other contracts in there. In fact, that's in MAGO. That's if you look at Michael Carducci's master contract, there's a supersede clause in there somewhere. And you can cut and paste that and put that into yours. So that's one idea. And then just the fact that when you turn this guy down the first time and he came back to you and said, okay, we want to do it. I would just tell him, hey, listen, I'm not booked now. I mean, I'm not available now. And now we have somebody else interested in this other person for the same date. So this is my policy. That's what I always use. This is our company policy. Just like you got a policy, we got a policy. And our policy is for our contract to be signed when we agree on this thing immediately. And it's also you know, we need a 50% deposit or whatever it is you take, and it should be a non-refundable deposit. And that's it.
We never work without requiring a deposit, like a 50% non-refundable. Yeah,
I would just say that's our policy. And if this doesn't work for you, I'm sorry. And we have somebody else now that's interested in this person. And so we can book him on another event. So I really need to know. And it's just like, you know.
I'll bet you anything, Sora. He's already folded once, probably just playing to see if this can happen
again. That's how I feel.
I would jump into this again, and I would just kind of say there's a lot of complications, and that's part of the business, but we each have things that work well for our business. Ours is we need a deposit. If any of this stuff isn't acceptable, please let's work together when neither of us have to compromise, and just put it out there again, but just final line it.
Yeah.
I know you'll get this thing. I already see you guys out there dodging cars and stuff like that. So, or whatever you do on a racetrack. I'm not sure. whatever happens. I'm not quite sure. Is there a festival happening on the
they at least claim that it is the Northeast's largest wine festival.
Oh, wine festival. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you guys will kill there. You will kill there. So
yeah, the other thing is like wherever the space is that they're putting this thing. I mean, I've often told people this when they're beating me up about a price or whatever, and I've, you know, especially when they're asking me to donate my time or whatever that might be, and I'll say, well, has the hotel that you're gonna be, you know, the venue, are they donating the time? Is the catering all being donated? When those are all being donated, then call me. You know,
nobody, the catering company's not bringing food without a deposit. No way. So yeah, there's some power play. Call the bluff, have fun with it. And, I'd even put a 5 p.m. deadline on it, you know, just kind of say, I mean, you got to put a 24-hour deadline on this thing just so you can move on in your business.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. I am getting better at walking away for some reason. This one was really hard. It just felt like, oh wow, this is in July. It's like so close. It's like a nice chunk of money that's falling in our laps. Like, right in the middle of July, like on a weekend that, like on the one weekend that's still free. So we're like, it's hard to walk away, but I think with the mindset that I am building this future where this money will be replaced easily with Showbiz Blueprint, I think that might be the way to go. And just kind of,
so if I can chime in, Barry, no, I'm the wrong person, because I'm the type, I'll just say, this is my fee, and then if they don't give it to me, I say, all right, then I'll move on. That was my attitude before I joined SBBP. But I'll say this to you, all money is not good money. And if you start caving in, it'll become a habit to you. And Bobby mentioned this will supersede. But if you sign their contract, then they might not sign your contract. If you already signed their contract, that would be a
conflict. No, I don't want to play that. Yeah. Right. So I don't really know, you know, like, no, I'm not going to sign your contract.
Right.
Right.
Like, I was watching, listening to the homework assignment for three, what's her name? Sandra, if I'm saying her name right.
Cindy? No.
From Stars. Cindy?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I listened to it last night. She has the entertainment company.
I think it's Cindy. Yeah. Cindy Smart.
Yeah. Cindy. Yes. And, once you start going into a certain level, you're going to lose certain people. So right. If you're going from 3,000 to 5,000, or if you're going from 5,000 to 3,000, you're going to start losing the 3,000 customers. Don't worry about them. Move. Just, it's going to be more 5,000. So if they don't want to pay you, just, you know, you're going to get more 5,000. Now, I say all that to say, I haven't even made a call yet, Barry. So I'm embarrassed about that.
Hey, you're in a place, man. You know, this is your first couple hours home since this thing started. Don't worry about it.
Well, but here's the thing. And I don't mean to jump on you, step away from you, Sara. Forgive me
good. Keep going. Go.
Okay. My dilemma is, it's funny, my oldest son moved to New York a few years ago, And he had this bright idea to, he was going to do mixtapes. He was going to sell mixtapes. He prepped everything. He had two jobs. He was saving his money. He quit one job, laid him off. He ended up quitting his other job. Now he's going to go out on his own and become this entrepreneur. And then he realized after he done quit his other job, he can't talk to people. He don't know how to approach people. Right. Now he's in a dilemma because his whole demeanor was aggressive when they didn't want to buy his mixtape or he didn't know how to present it. Ooh. Now I'm talking to him about how you talk to people and all that. Now, fast forward, 6 weeks ago, module one, module two, where we talk about we're not here for perfection. We go through the process, and I find myself subconsciously, and I just realized this today, well, I realized it last week, that I'm finding everything else to do besides sit down and make the call.
Gotcha.
And today it was like, I had all the time. I said, I had some things I got to do in the morning, but at 10 o'clock, I'm going to sit down because it'll be 9 o'clock central. I can call Dallas. I'm going to start making these calls. Didn't do it. I found everything else to do.
Everything.
I had the same morning.
Yeah, and I went back and listened to module one, where you said you had to make yourself press, you know, the send button on emails.
I remember the moment, dude.
Yeah, I sat back and I'm doing everything outside of that. I'm having a website built. I had a meeting with the guy yesterday. I've had my logos done. I had a meeting with that, and I outsourced to get the list of all the events, conferences in the Atlanta, Dallas area. So
you've
I have
done
this
everything
list
else you can do except do the work.
And that's my point. And that's my point. When it's time to pick up the phone, and I was right before the conference, I said, okay, it's 1 o'clock. I can maybe make two or three calls. But then I get another phone call, and all I had to do was not answer the phone. But I picked up the phone, and I start talking. Okay, now it's 1:30. I hang up that call. Okay, what am I supposed to say? I'm going back to my list. Okay, I got it down. My phone rings again. I don't have to pick up the phone, but I pick up the phone because subconsciously I'm blocking myself because for whatever reason, I haven't done this since 1990. The last time I did this was 94 when I had to make my own calls. 94, I got a manager. I got an agent. They took care of all that.
24 years ago, man.
Right. Holy so now, shit, yeah. Not a thing, but you know what I'm going through, Barry, as far as
I hear you, brother. Hey, and I mean, anyone else, if you can relate to even what Michael's saying at all in your own world, just raise your hand a little bit. I mean, I got that. So just for a second, not alone. And let me ask you something, and you guys all who raise your hand, because I do this work all the time. What's the message that happens inside your head? Don't even have to say it out loud, but what's the message outside your head? What's the fear? Because when that grabs control of the stick, you're behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really difficult. And I swear, I didn't plan this, didn't you? I had this up on the screen as something I wanted to bring up today. But look at this. This is a fun one from our buddy Tony Robbins. Change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. Mm. I tell you, man, I was thinking about that today. I was like, I know where this is at in week eight. I know all the stories, the taking on water. Sarah wrote that great piece about like, how do I keep track of any of this stuff? And I was like, oh my gosh, there was alumni that did this great little flow chart. So I went and nabbed that and found that two people answered me that, oh yeah, I did one too. So this is the time to realize a couple things. We got to make little tiny progresses. We have to move the success line literally away from getting the booking. And I've talked about this before, away from getting the booking to picking up that freaking communication device, however we're going to do it, email, text, LinkedIn, email, whatever we're going to do, that's the success line, man. That's the place where, and yeah, it's not the place where the bank deposit happens, but it's right. The only thing that will open the door to that next place.
Brian Tracy has this really interesting concept in when it comes to all this stuff, and this concept is called Eat the Frog.
Eat the frog, man. I love Brian.
Get it off your plate in the morning. So I always try to do three things that I got to man up and just get them off my plate because I don't want to do them. I'm not different from anybody. And I've had musicians and other people ask me, God, you're always working, you're doing this. And, you know, some people think maybe the world is beating a path to your doorstep, but there's nothing further from the truth. You know, I just tell people I'm moderately successful because I just choose to do all the things you guys don't want to do, you know. And then just I'll say one last little thing to Sora. I think when, you know, like Miguel and Barry and everybody's kind of right on this thing, when you sort of stick to your guns, you do have to let a certain amount of work go and be okay with that. Yeah, and know that you will pick up other stuff. Some people are just frankly a pain in the ass to work with, and I'm done working with a lot of people. And if they don't want to work and play by my rules, then I just don't do it, you know. And then when they come around, they're very respectful of you when you give a little bit of pushback. And that doesn't mean you need to be mean or nasty or whatever, but just stick to your guns and do your thing.
Yeah, this guy, every interaction that I've had with him kind of projects into the future, like he's gonna be really hard to work with. So I feel like at this point I'm like, yeah, I might be ready to walk away.
Barry talked about one thing that I have kind of shied away from a lot of my life. And now that I'm getting a little older, I'm starting to really realize it. And it's, you got to follow your gut feeling. Because when you're trying to do things on a technical level and think about things, if it doesn't feel right, man, he's right on the money with this thing. If you've got hesitations about it, chances are it's going to be a pain and it's not going to be fulfilling. You know, so there is something to be said for that.
I'd love to add to that too, guys.
Please.
If I can.
This is all the OGs, by the way, you young kids, man. This is the guys who have sat through in the shit and made the mistakes. I mean, I'm looking at the screen, it's like it's freaking brilliant. I love it, man.
If I can add to that, please. The other one I have is when they don't want to either sign a contract. Well, I mean, gotta have a signed contract, but we do 50% deposit too. Somebody mentioned it. That's our company policy it is required that we get a 50% deposit. And then it is hard to walk away. But then when they kind of beat me up on that, especially I've had dual contracts, I said, no, if we sit here and discuss it and then you come up with something else on a contract, it's not a contract. And I go that quick. So what was the line Bobby used? You know, it's a preempting. But here's my favorite line with people who refuse to give a deposit or a contract. Until we have either one of these, what we're talking about is just a good idea. That's all it is. It's not a gig.
Shit, use that, Sora. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that for your, yeah.
Because I use a lot of freelancers, so I can't book anything with them until I get a signed contract. So.
Right, yeah, how could you? And food companies are prepping food, and drink companies have bars, and yeah, everyone. And really, it's to hold the date. My thing was always the contract and the deposit are what seal the deal. Till then, we have a hold, and the hold's going to expire as it tends to do. So,
can I pipe in with a question here?
Please, yeah, of course.
I do some deposits. I don't do any deposits with schools because I've never not been paid by a school. So, and they are great. I like getting paid on full on the day, but. Any other organization, I always do deposits. But if you guys ever run into a thing where you get the signed contract, but then they don't send the deposit, and then they end up saying, oh, well, we didn't mail that, so we figured it wasn't a – or maybe since you didn't get the deposit, we decided we weren't doing it or something like that. Have you had any trouble with that ever?
That is so funny. There's actually a conversation going on about that in our alumni group, and I just commented, oh, my gosh, 99.9% of the world's the other way around. You get the contract but no deposit. But, yeah, there's two people right now in there who are stewing with this. We've gotten the check, but there's no contract. So that's an interesting one. I'm going to actually look that up.
Saying I put a line on all of my contracts now that says this is a written confirmation of our verbal agreement. You know, my opinion is kind of like Bobby's there. Like, this is already all been decided on. Like, nothing more to discuss. Everything we talked about is now written down, and I put a line at the bottom. We're now turning away other events that, you know, request this date. So, you know, just kind of letting them know that we've already agreed on all this. So just click this button in Mago and we're done.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. Someone who wrote, booked a show, sent out a contract and invoice, received the deposit payment, but no contract. Yeah, this is happening. Contract, how would you proceed? Yeah, 40 comments. This one got active. So
Or I guess what I was saying is sometimes people, instead of communicating with you and saying, oh no, it's a no go now, they'll, I've only had this happen a couple times. I just didn't know if there's a way to keep it from happening where instead of calling and saying no, they just don't send the deposit. And then
they send you the contract and no deposit.
Or maybe just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, why you're waiting on anything from them.
You know, Tim, it's funny. The only thing I would do on that is just, I always had it as an unmarked, you know, not a date in green yet on my calendar, because it still wasn't a date in green with both those things. And then, you know, a couple times in life, yeah, the shows get canceled, the things get changed, and you do what you can to work it out to make it a good experience for them. But I tell you, don't be afraid. There's not a company in the world who would consider giving up a deposit, you know, if they had hard costs, and we have hard costs, you know.
Chances are,
I've been using. Sorry, there.
What's it?
In Mago, I have a little thing that I send out now that says, if I don't get the agreement within the amount of time, I'll say, hey, I noticed you haven't signed the agreement. If everything looks good, please click here and I'll be notified right away that you've signed it. If not, please text me ASAP at this number, so that it kind of forces them to do something, you know?
Yes, exactly. And is that effective for you?
Yeah, because it's basically saying, hey, if something's not right, I need to know right away for, you know, for my schedule. But yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I have a due date for both the contract and the deposit. I mean, it needs to be signed by this date and the deposit needs to be received by this date, period. Chances are, if you got a deposit, they're good for it. They're just dragged. Some people just drag their feet on paperwork and stuff like that. It could be maybe the electronic signing is, you know, maybe they want to do a different kind of signing of it or whatever. So I just give them a friendly reminder. I just send them an email. Hey, this is a friendly reminder that I need your contract. I need this contract to be approved. And I don't say signed. I say to be approved by you.
That's a good catch.
That usually does a trick.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is helpful. Can you put in a contract, this gig is not confirmed until the deposit is received?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, deposit and contract, both. And really, the contract, my contract, and I was just trying to pick that up for you so I could share that on our group, but my contract always says the deposit has to be received within 10 days, and when both of these have been received, that's when the date is finalized. It's really sketchy business to not take a 50% deposit.
When you say 10 days, Barry, saying 10 days from you sending that or 10 days for the gig?
From contract signing.
Okay, they signed a contract. They got 10 days after that to send the deposit. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll post this. Here it is, Raspini contract. Just wanted to make sure if I could find this for you guys quickly. Let me see. Yeah, I should be able to bring this up. Oh, man, I got to save it now. Holy cow. I got it saved probably a few hundred places on here. And I'll put this in our group. You guys are free to use this thing. It was done by a LA attorney guy, which means it was good for me. And let me view this thing a little bigger here. Page width. Yeah, so we have the piece down here. Huh. Where is that thing? First, 50% non-refundable deposit. Within 10 days of signing the contract. Yeah. So, this was set up for a $10,000, but yeah. So this is a contract template I'll share with you guys. But yeah, having that thing in bold on your contract, it gets attention. I guess I didn't say that. I guess I would put that in an email when I just told people that, yeah, both needed to be here for the date to be locked in if it ever got to the place where they weren't doing it. So, but yeah, putting it on bold on the contract is, you know, you need to send this within 10 days. So please do that, Sora. Just get used to it, man. Everybody get used to that. No one needs to be burned. All right.
Where's Patrick when you need him?
Oh, I know, right? We have our own attorney here.
I guess he could outsource his entertainment stuff to Bobby now.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
I got a little check-in.
Please do, please.
One more. So I've kind of been like putting, I'd say 80 to 90% of the course content. I'll look it over and then it goes straight into the fridge or freezer.
Freezer?
Oh. Yeah. But only because this is so new. But I am acting on the parts that I can digest. Like it's the first time in my life where I'm actually doing outbound marketing. So I have a minimum of 5 calls a week. So I'm doing a lot of calls and a lot of emails, which I've never done before. And I know that that goes back to way earlier in the course, but I've had, I think it was Miguel who posted about going fishing and like kind of having that shift of attitude. Yeah. And so that's been sinking in for me the last few weeks. Like once I let go of being behind and I kind of embraced it, I've been able to just kind of sit down and like start doing the sales funnel with everything. And doing more focused on the fastest path to cash than the big picture, but with doing all these things so that by the time I'm doing big picture, I'm really practiced with all the things I'm learning.
Awesome, Sarah. That's so good. What's one thing that has made a difference for you that just even financial, if there's been a reward in that way, but even systemic or just how you're running it?
No financial thing yet, but the phone calls have actually been so good. Like I feel pretty comfortable on the phone now, actually just talking to people and seeing if I'm a good fit. And it's, I've had so many failed phone calls that I really, every time I call, it's truly not about getting the gig anymore. It's just like, oh, let's see if this is a fit or not. And it's it's so much more laid back now.
Dude, I would grab a tincture of that and drop it on every person. If you could, I mean, if you leave here with that power, that's a superpower. That's really huge. That's fantastic. So, hey, and where are you at? Did you pursue the trade shows with that text we wrote? Have you gotten any back and forth?
I'm like just calling them over and over again and not getting anything back. So I'm thinking I'm going to maybe on Upwork, get somebody to just find me trade show booths that have over a certain square footage, and I'll just call those people directly. And then I also want to do the same thing with the holiday sales funnel.
I love it. And I'll tell you, don't even get stuck on the funnel. When you find a trade show, if there's a great trade show happening in Boston and it's, you know, the American Association of Car Wax or car, car accessories, yes, get on LinkedIn, find out who works for that company or have someone do it for your LinkedIn and just get that flyer in front of every person. Screw the sales funnel. You know, it's a great thing to do, but you got a great one sheet. You're painting a picture of possibility. One of those companies is going to grab you. You don't need to put in all the work on every one. When you got a room like that and they realize that, she's going to be at somebody's booth. Why not at ours? Yeah. You know, that's kind of these people's worst nightmares. I'm going to be at somebody else's booth. And boy, if you can hit a trade show up with that, get that flyer in front of, you know, the top 20 booths at a trade show and let them know you're doing it.
Okay.
You know, we can do that through messaging and an email when you send it out to them on LinkedIn. I'm going to be at the Boston Trade Show. I'd really love to be at your booth instead of your competitors. Oh my gosh, get that flyer in front of the 20 biggest booths. You'll see something will happen with that. That's cool. That's great.
For trade shows, this may be a silly question, but have you found that there was like a certain size booth that was more likely, like this and above, that was likely to hire you?
Well, it's funny, you know, when you get a, there's a couple steps along that. So it's a great question. If you can use your network in any way to get that first one under your belt, you'll be ahead of the game. If you can't do that, you don't have some connection somewhere. If someone is at a trade show and you can jump in even for a few hours of one day, promise them for free, you're going to, you know, bring in new people. You'll get some photos, some videos, some testimonials. That's really my favorite way to do it. But, you know, if you can do that, what I'm telling Sarah right now, it's so weird. You guys are right next to each other. Sarah, so I'm a little confused. But what I'm telling Sarah right now is, you know, you can do this at a big show even with no connection. You can just really hit the top 20 booths and do that, big ones. For what she's doing, you're gonna need a freak show, you know. I think I asked you and you said it was a 30-foot diameter on those two things. That's what's in my mind anyway.
It's like 15 by 15 feet minimum.
Right, and my exact understanding of math still is that's 30 feet. So that's a pretty dang big trade show. But there are trade show booths that's even just a small section of, really. That's not even an issue. But there's an alumni, Danny Orleans, he's the greatest voice in trade shows ever in the whole world. I mean, he's every single week. I don't know if anyone's friends with Danny Orleans. But boy, just to watch. Yeah, that's right. He's a Chicago dude. But just to watch where he's playing his trade show stuff. He's at 10 by 10 square foot booth sometimes. He's doing close up. But he's got such a name in that industry that, you know, companies will fight for him at a trade show. So, yeah, the quick answer is there is no size once they get to see you. But, you know, you guys, both of you, Sarah, both have some situation where there's going to be some size constraints, you know, at least to get it figured out. But Sarah, I've done a ton of trade shows that are exactly the size you want. And you can work those in. I'm just thinking of this one I did where we were on the ground, which was, you know, unusual. I think that was 15. I think it was only it must have been a little more, maybe 20 feet wide or something. Yeah, by the time we had us 8 feet apart and there was a little more room. Yeah, maybe a 15 foot wide. It was something like that. Yeah, it wasn't a ton of room. But that's when the whole booth isn't about you guys. You know, it's just like you're showing up once, twice an hour to do something kind of cool. And then other ones where you're integrated more into it. That's a different scene. So, but Sarah, get that thing going, dude. I want to see that. I so want to see that thing in front of the top 20 booths. It's something, some good show coming to Boston.
Me too.
Cool. All right. Any other check-ins, questions that we can get back to the module, module 8, we can segue into that. All right. Let me ask you about, let me just check my notes here. So you guys just heard the holiday funnel thing, although maybe we talked about it before. Yeah, we talked about it. Is that something that you guys understand the flow of and people would feel good doing that? I mean, I'm looking down the screen here, Dean in Palm Springs. Every single venue in Palm Springs is going to be having at least one holiday party a night starting December. You know, why you wouldn't be the number one guy in those, I don't understand, but.
Okay, so yeah, I've got a question. What's the best way to find out where to go for those? Is that seems like something I could outsource pretty easily to Fiverr, because I too have had problems with some of the creativity type of things. Of course, the gardener comes up with the lawnmower.
Right, nice timing, perfect.
Maybe I should mute myself. Is that coming in loud?
Yeah, no problem, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, in a resort town like you live in, I don't know if you've done all the stuff in Get More Corporate Gigs where I talked about connecting with customer service managers or doing that, but I tell you, those are you have these massive multipliers. You have like every one of those people is a seed with a dozen or 100 roots. And those are really the people for you to focus on. I would make these CVIs and do this entire holiday funnel just to the convention service managers. Yeah, it'll need modifying a little bit. But you know what they need. They're going to be having all these clients come in. Every party is going to look the same. For you to become a preferred vendor, it's going to take, you know, meeting them a little bit, sending them to your website, maybe going by, stopping by, having that conversation. But they're going to be really happy. I mean, there are caterers they're recommending. Well, they're probably doing it all in-house, but there's, you know, a DJ they're recommending. There's photographers. There's people who are preferred vendors for them.
Yeah.
And people in Palm Springs are not unaccustomed to magic, to entertainment shows. And
this for me was the most exciting one, because I feel like it's good timing and like,
well, yeah,
it feels a little early, but I know it's not, it just feels that way because I've never done it, you know, I've never done it outbound before, but right. I'm really interested in doing that also, and like hooking up with trying to get in contact with party planners and businesses. But I think the preferred vendor route sounds great. I'm kind of overwhelmed. I don't even know where to begin here.
Okay. You know? I'll tell you guys all where to begin. Just go to Google and type in event hotel in my city. You know, wherever city you want to do, to have meetings or events. I mean, I know the six or so that matter in Palm Springs, New York. There's probably 200 that you'd want to pick from.
Yeah.
But really what I would do is I would just make a CVI for that person. You can find them on LinkedIn. You can find out who the convention services manager is just by typing in that hotel, convention service manager. Or you can call the hotel yourself if you're not a big LinkedIn person. Pick up the phone, call the hotel, and say, who's the convention services manager? Wonderful. They'll tell you the name. Can I get an email for that person? Or can you?
What, is there another title for that?
Conference service manager, convention service manager.
Manager.
What is it?
Special events manager.
Special events, yeah, possibly. There's another word they use for that. You know, honestly, man, convention service manager, they're going to know what you're talking about.
Right.
So I was able to actually hook up with a few of these people. I joined the Somerset County Business Partnership, which is like the local chamber. I had been active in the previous year of like going to networking events and stuff like that. That's kind of fallen off since I have a 6-month-old. But just like, you know, stack of cards here, just, there you go. 5 or 6 of their cards, met them personally, have interacted with them, and it was super low-key and easy. And honestly, people who were there at the chambers are there to find out ways to give each other business. So they're primed for it in a big way.
Yeah, and they're, you know, you're offering a solution that it's just not the normal thing they're doing. So, you know, your job is to make that connection, just have that stack of cards like Dom does, and then do that business card funnel. Start checking in, start providing content for them, give them value, know that they're staying in your mind. And this is literally just getting a pump started, you know, just getting it started so that there is something coming out of it.
And could I say, you're so right about like how we as entertainers appear at these events, that like we are superstars. We are the one person there that's not a financial advisor at like chamber events. Everyone else is a different variety of like financial advisor, life insurance salesman. And you show up and you go, oh, I can read minds. Oh, I do magic. I do. You're the most interesting person in the room just by job title.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. And how you play that off is really important. You know, how you dispense it. It was like when I went to do all the news programs with my 30-day sugar, my I Love Me More Than Sugar book. It's like, I always said I'm going to do this amazing juggling trick, but it's going to happen the last 40 seconds, 50 seconds of the segment, not up front. Because, you know, it's hard sometimes if you're the guy, you know, reading minds when you walk in. It's like, oh, shit, we have an hour of this meeting, and now everything seems dull because of you. You've ruined it by being you.
So Barry, you were saying once we make a connection with them, we make a CVI just for that conference service manager.
Totally.
And then, all right, let's say they shake hands, say, yeah, let's go for it. Well, let me just explain my situation. I have a country club that I do their family Christmas party every year, but they've also seen me do shows at their country club for all adult corporate events.
Wow. Nice.
And they told me, oh, we do 30 to 40 events in December. So it's a lot. So I was thinking of making a landing page for her to show anyone who might be interested, like, hey, thanks for holding your event at the Kinky Country Club. Here's what I can do for you. And then having a GVI, rather, and there would be no company logo on it, but it would be more like, hey, I'm at this country club. What would you think about a landing page for each venue like that?
Exactly. Except don't make it from you, Tim, or anyone. Don't make it first person. Make it so that, you know, Robert, the convention service manager at the hotel, can say, hey, here's one of the guys who does a lot of events at our thing. And it's totally written for them, but it's not from you personally.
So we would not be sitting at our computer talking then. On a GVI.
You can totally do that, but I'm just talking about in the text or in the GVI itself. Don't make it basically you should be able to do one of these and have it work for any client so that the convention services manager can send it to their client. And you would just say, hey, I do a lot of events at the XYZ Country Club. I know you have an event coming up. Here's, so you can talk to them in that one. Where am I going with the first person? You had said something before that made me think. You made me think. Anyway, word it that way, what I just said, something tripped up in my mind, but get the GVI out there just for that country club, aimed directly at the person who's the client who's coming in.
So maybe the text on the landing page could be as if it's from the country club, this country club presents, take a look at this, you know, at our entertainer who always, you know, is a slam dunk or something. And
yeah,
then
or even the headline could be you're having your event at the Country Hills Country Club. Boom. Yeah, and they're going to have some preferred vendors, and some of them will have business cards. Some of them will have a flyer sheet. Some of them will just have, you know, a little one paragraph summary. Working with that country club, say, how would it be best for you to be able to offer my services to your clients who have events coming in? They may say, we just want a paragraph of text, or, you know, and you could even just make one up and email it to your contact there and just kind of say, hey, would you guys be up for this? Or is there a better way for you to tell your incoming guests about me? And then you get into the conversation about why would they do this? You know, what's the compensation for them? And really the couple ways to handle that, but say, what would work best for you for this? If I book a show directly with an end client, or do you want to book it directly and take some money for yourselves? It's really a bold thing to bring up to them so that there's nothing shady about it. You know, this goes to the aforementioned wisdom, but boy, the clearer, the more direct integrity you can hold that conversation around how do you want to be compensated for this thing, man, they're going to love it.
Would be really cool. You know, I know with this particular country club, the lady is like, always has way too many things to do. So I wonder if on the landing page, I could even put some of her other preferred recommended things. So it's like a resource page, and I'm
wow.
one of those things, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, that would be really nice. You may want to ask it. You know,
that's
and
a great idea. I think that's a great idea.
It's a really good one. I'll tell you that country club definitely has a list of preferred vendors, because when someone comes in and says, "Hey, we're having a party," okay, here's some people we use for catering. Here's who we use for DJ, for music, for magic, for entertainment, kids, decor, centerpieces, flat. There's no end to when that starts happening.
Something else I'd like to bring up about this is the timing. It does feel early, like Greg was talking about. Maybe it's just out of my comfort zone. I tended to wait until July, but I think I really got jazzed up by this module this week, because the service manager seems fine, but there's some networking events that I've scheduled to go see. So I'm feeling, wow, I should just go knock on some doors downtown. But what gets me right now is I'm still not finished with the country club, you know, push that we talked about last week. And I'm so easy at just getting distracted by the next new shiny object, Barry. So I'm just, you know, maybe if you wore a hat, I wouldn't be, disgruntled.
I know, man. A lot of things in the air, man. I get it. It's
can this wait for another couple weeks, like after the 4th of July, or is it cool? We're just planting seeds now, and we're getting to it as we get to it. Because right
honestly,
now,
honestly, Dan, I hope I was present enough to say that in the module that this is a great time, and also end of summer, beginning of fall, you can jump in as a hero. And really, but say you did want to tackle this early, you know, just say as my 25 years, my 35 years as an entertainer, one of the biggest regrets I see with clients is waiting too long. Having to settle, you know, the pain of having to settle for a wedding, a Christmas party, a holiday party, a vacation. You know, it's like that thing of having to settle. And I'm here to be your superhero, because as an entertainer who is working every night of the holiday season at some event somewhere, I'm working for the clients who didn't wait. You know, man, you can start getting that word in front of corporate clients right now, and really, you may not get a call back, but you're going to plant a seed. You're going to start being seen as a little more of a hero and less of a reactive person and more of a proactive.
Barry, how do you feel? I think I know the answer to this, but how do you feel about like kind of early booking deals for people?
I love that. Yeah, I'm. I mean, I wouldn't go any lower. I would always work the price up higher so that the percentage.
Price up so that then the money. Yeah.
But you know that would be. But boy, just to motivate people to take action. It would be great.
I had a question about the module. Just a little confusion. I was hoping you could clarify, because at one point you were talking about the pay-per-click campaign, about how you weren't necessarily opposed to that. And you made a comment how you would send them, when they clicked, to a landing page. But then a few sentences later, you were talking about having a CVI on a landing page with the company logo and something. So are they, if they're clicking through, obviously we don't know who they are. So are people seeing multiple landing pages through this process? Or like if they click and see one thing and then they contact us, I just was a little confused.
I'm sorry about that, Tim. Yeah. So I bet you anything, I was kind of mixing up when I used to do Google advertising, which has probably been 7, 8, 10 years. I don't even know when the last time I did Google advertising for my entertainment show was, but it was a long time ago. But then I would send people just to something. I mean, the main thing with any kind of pay-per-click is, like, in a good one, you wouldn't even know the difference between what the ad says and what you click on and continue reading. So that's really like, we can't have a pay-per-click or any kind of a banner, any kind of a referral ad, and send people to our website and the homepage and expect just for them to figure it out. So really important piece of that is, if you're going to do any pay-per-click, and you could be easily, I don't know that I would do, I might do Google again. I don't know. I've just really forgotten how it works. It's been so long because of Facebook. But if you put a holiday, let me just make an example, holiday company party in, you know, Chicago. Company party. I don't even know how much hits you'd get on this, but it would be interesting to look about. And there's great tools that will tell you, like, I want to hit people who are searching for this, and the Google keyword tool will tell you, you know, 100 things that people are typing in to find this. And from there, you know, your landing page can't be your website. If this has to be planning your company party, you know, that's the continuity that this needs to have. And real quick, you know, a video, I would go for a testimonial right off the bat and then a call to action, you know, but I'd love this to be on one page that you don't have to scroll. Think Chicago. Oh, come on. 312? No, what is it? Yeah, whatever that is. No, what is that area code? Damn it.
There's a few. 773-312.
Yeah, I'm going old school, man. Yeah, 312, yeah. Right. But yeah, if you could hit that, and that's the way to do pay-per-click, and maybe that's what I was talking about when I mentioned that, was that be that continuity.
And another point, you said 60 to 90 seconds. I thought these CVIs were a lot longer than that.
Oh, definitely. Well, yeah, they're a couple minutes. You know, when we do them for a company, but if we're going to do something that's from an ad, we don't have that kind of time. We don't have any authority from somebody. So,
wow.
I tell you, really, if you could do it in 30, I would say that's unbelievable. Just some of the verbiage I was just talking about. Bye, Amber. Shoot, did we miss her?
Yeah. What are the most important things you would put in that 60 to 90 seconds then?
The pain points, you know, just the stuff I was just saying to Dan, you know, the biggest mistake people make is waiting and having to settle. I mean, those two lines right there put people in that place of having to have some crappy act because they waited too long, or not having entertainment because everyone's booked. Really powerful. And that I would really be happy to see in an ad for a pay-per-view. And especially if you paint your authority up first, you know. My name's Tin Hag. I've been a professional entertainer in the Chicago area for over 30 years. I do it. And I would have all this to B-roll, you know, your face on screen for 5 seconds to set the context and then start showing the possibility through B-roll while you're still talking. But, you know, one of the biggest mistakes people make, come back to you live, is waiting too long, having to settle for something less than they could have had.
And that B-roll would be of, like, audience reacting to our show, or...
you know, standing ovation, you on stage, any good pictures you have with celebrity in engagement, you know, anything like that where you can build authority. But all of it should be building authority. Whetting their appetite that, you know, Yeah, I hope, you know, really the only thought at the end of the video is to be, is this guy available? You know, that would be the big thing. So, but yeah, you know, pay-per-click's an expensive game, but it's a good game. It's a really good game. And if you're doing it through, and I know there's ways to do this through Google Analytics as well, but through Facebook, the analytics are so good. I mean, you can tell everything except what color shirt someone was wearing when they clicked on your ad. It's really crazy. All right. All right, so that's Holiday Party Funnels. Who works with producers here? I mean, are there people who, yeah. Yeah, Hans is working with a lot. Dan, I'm sure. Yeah, agents and Greg. Okay, so. Yeah, and you know, that is a part of it, building those relationships. And the three that you'll hear this week, they talk a lot about that, about really the best ways to do it. My preferred way, and did I go into it on the module where I, I think that's coming up. I think I go to five more ways to do it. But I really, you know, my favorite was always getting a gig to the very end and then handing it to a producer. There is no better way in the door with those people. They'll talk about you. They'll tweet about you. They'll talk to their sales team about, you know, you're a top priority now. So big, huge shortcut. All right. Wait, is it? Okay, yeah. All right, where are we going to go from here? You guys, what's sticking to you? What can we solve? It's all right. Think about it. Where's the homework landing for you? Where are the fears showing up? What have you put into use that's doing a little bit of good and we can refine it? What's a piece of copy you're stuck on? A headline, a tagline, really anything we want to do. This is the time for that.
Sorry, guys. I feel like I'm monopolizing this today.
I guarantee you're speaking for the group, Sora. It doesn't matter. It's all just, no.
Did you guys, I didn't get to watch the replay of the other Q&As. Did you guys do a LinkedIn session about profiles?
We did. And we had Ted Pedromo come on and talk to us, the teacher from that. He came on live.
Oh, man.
And he dug all into yours and you weren't here to answer. No, I'm kidding. He didn't. But we did have him on. Check that out. It was really good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I will go check.
Are you doing something on LinkedIn now? Do you guys have some profile? Is it reflecting where you want to be instead of where you have been?
Yeah. I mean, I have tweaked my profile to be where I want to be, not where I am currently. I'm just having a hard time with some of the wording. I was watching like the module, and I know that the headline is really important. So I've been, you know, trying to tweak the headline, but I don't know. Like some of the wording is very, very difficult for me.
Okay. And Ted made a cool offer on the replay, and he offered to take a look at yours. So drop him a line. I think his email's on the replay page.
Right on.
Drop him. Just kind of say, hey, what hits you, and what do you think when you read this?
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, of course.
I guess, can I ask another question about the holiday funnels? Cause I feel like that's like the low lying fruit for myself. So like, as far as like taking action immediately, right. We should have a kind of a GVI set up for, you think, for like specific types of venues, and then start doing the CVIs once we get a little bit deeper with introductions to people, because.
Yeah, the CVIs for me, you know, they're a little bit of work, and I was fast at them. Honestly, I can do them in under 15 minutes from beginning to end. I could just boom, boom, swap in the modifies, do a one take on the audio, do it in Camtasia that lays there, and I would just put them out. And as I see that it's not easiest thing in the world for people to do, I think a lot of the heavy lifting and introductory stuff can be done almost TV commercial style with a GVI.
When do you get CVI with it? Like
when I'm having that conversation, I get to the fifth stage of the sales funnel and it's like real clear. Like I've got a relationship. I know I know that they have some money from something they've said or who they've had last year or
the So it's after you've already talked, made contact, talked to them.
Totally. I would never make a G.
What kind of stuff they got going on, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. How can I help you? Haven't gotten specific on anything. And then, boom, yep. You have this coming up. Oh, let me put something together. Okay.
Yeah, and that's when in a conversation I say, hey, this sounds great. Let me put a proposal together. I'll get it for you within 24 hours. And then I love saying that and then getting it out to them. You know, I'll customize video or something in like an hour. People are always like, oh, my gosh, what the hell? But, you know, the message is there that, you know, these guys take care of business.
And the content they're seeing on that is totally different from that GVI that we were speaking about before, correct?
Pretty much, yeah, because you know about their event on a customized video introduction. You can do it with their date, the venue they're having it, you know, who their audience is, and it's a very different presentation. But, you know, on the one you're talking about, Tim, for the country clubs, it's like, oh, man, no problem. You know, like, most of what's happening there. If you got a picture of you in front of the venue or, you know, you kind of shaking hands with one of the big cheeses there because you know the people, hey, you know, Dina's going to be taking great care of you. I've been at, you know, dozens of their events there. I just want to show you a little bit of what it could be like. You know, your guests are standing around board. It doesn't even matter if it's a wedding, if it's a graduation. Like, there's going to be guests there. They're going to be bored. There's going to be food. There's going to be some standard thing. So play into all those on your GVI. Same for you, Greg. I mean, if there's a party at an event, get a picture or two of yourself in front of the place, inside the place. If you have any video of place you may be on stage inside there, but B-roll tells a story on that, and the audio answers everything that the fears they have.
And how about businesses? When you're contacting businesses, how do you get to the person who's planning those holiday parties there? Like,
right. So it's difficult because that's usually somebody's job who it's not their real job. So for holiday funnels, I always hit VPs because they cared about success, you know, and they would hand it down to the right person.
Oh, I see.
It's probably not the VP, but if you're going to get an email, if you're going to buy a mail list or something, aim for, hey, John's here, man. Good to see you. late today. But yeah, look for VPs. That's a good one. Administrative assistants as well. And you can always qualify that out in LinkedIn or if you're buying a mailing list.
Is that a VP of anything in particular, or?
I would just, anyone with a VP title, you know, because they're all going to be concerned with what's this thing going to be like, and we don't want it to suck, and they'll hand it down. And if it's a nice piece that arrives there, they'll take care of the routing of it. But yeah, Christmas parties are tricky. You know, holiday parties are tricky just because it's not anyone's real job.
They're the best gigs. I love doing those.
You love those? Yeah, that's a good audience for you.
Yeah, for me, they're easy because everybody's cutting, you know, everyone's kind of like cutting loose. They're usually pretty tight on like the time period because there's so many parties going on. They're usually stacked into a venue and, you know, I've loved doing them. So I always want to do more of them.
Yeah.
Heads of HR, I find, hire me for a lot of holiday parties too.
Heads of HR. Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. That's probably where a lot of that would get handed down to from a VP. I imagine that's where that ends up. So that may even be a really good thing to look up LinkedIn or if you're buying an email list. This is great. I love this copy that when I worked with Anita and we kind of dug through. The corporate event, a potentially awkward setting where people who spend their days in work mode are asked to mingle, break bread, laugh, or even dance. A chemistry challenge, even for a PhD, because they are weird ass events. You know, it's I've seen such awkwardness at all the parties. I mean, sometimes it's really weird, and I'm always glad I just am on stage and have a microphone.
Yeah, I love when it's other people's weird awkwardness.
Oh, and you get to watch or make jokes about it. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's such a gift.
Hey, Barry.
Jump in.
Hey, sorry to sort of change gears for a second here, but I have a copywriting sort of question that I'd like to throw at you that I've always struggled with.
Yeah, sure.
If I can just take a minute of your time here. So I feel like, particularly for jugglers, there's this sort of cliche of describing yourself as a high-energy show, so much so that clients will ask me, like, do you have a high-energy show? And I shy away from that so hard. Like it just, like it makes my skin crawl. And it's hard for me to come back with, because I instantly feel like, no, I absolutely don't. And like, to me, what that means, like the connotations of that are like somebody on stage, like, hey, how's everybody doing? Put your hands together. And it's like pumping up a crowd. And that's so antithetical to the way I approach my performance. Like, I feel like I like to let the audience come to me. Like, it's such a slow build for my show. It's 20 minutes in before I break a sweat.
I know.
And I don't know how to explain that. And I'm so proud of that. And I feel like that's so important for my show.
Yep.
And I don't know how to say in a positive way to a client, I have the most low energy show you have ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
It's more of a theatrical experience, I would say.
That's exactly where I was heading, man. It would be difficult, I think, to be honest with, and you've probably come up against this.
That's exactly what I come up against, is that all of the ways that I can honestly word this are terrible marketing.
I would say something like, we've all seen those magicians who do cheesy joke after cheesy joke and one-liners. My show is not that. My show is sophisticated. It's more like a piece of theater, and I'm going to take the audience on a journey, and there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. And I would use that to your advantage.
Yeah. Have you worked with a group like what we're talking about here, like a holiday party or a corporate audience where do they take that ride with you?
They have to. I mean, it's a captive audience. It's their damn job to be there. They have no choice. I haven't done a whole lot of corporate work, a handful, you know, here and there. And that's the nice thing is that they don't know where it's going 5 minutes in.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, but they got to stick it out to the end, whether they like it or not. They're you know, strap in. It's going to be a ride.
Yeah. And I do know what you're saying though. I mean, it's kind of a bit of the backlash and the receipt of the America's Got Talent mentality that we live in right now. It's like 90 seconds, you know, or mm-hmm. Hans, what'd you do in there? Was it 90 seconds in Norway as well? When you do
Yeah, I never, well, not, none of us do 90 seconds. You all actually get more.
But, oh, okay.
2 minutes at least. Yeah.
Oh, and they edit you down. Okay. But yeah, I mean, that's an outcropping of that mentality is it's, you know, does this come out and grab us by the ass? And, you know, the other thing is, and Tim said, you know, maybe it's time to apply all this stuff that we talk about here towards a theater show, or a performing arts center. I mean, I know you're doing these resorts. That's your main business.
Yeah.
Where do they have time? They're seated. They're captive. That's the show for the night.
They've paid for it already. They might as well go see it. Yeah. It's part, you know, it's an all-inclusive experience. It's a cruise ship on land. So
right. Yeah. Huh. Really interesting. It's given me
the luxury of having a very captive audience.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Who's that? Somebody cut out there.
I know. I didn't hear that.
Maybe position high energy versus intelligent. That what you're doing is intelligent, not high energy.
Yeah, I mean that's the.
I don't know if that makes.
It's not the wording. I know what you're going for there. Yeah, but.
Tried, putting something like captivating.
I'm thinking of a juggler buddy of mine, Mark Hayward. Very smart in his act.
I really like Mark's work. Yeah, I like his stuff a lot.
Oh, who is it, Mark? Who?
Hayward.
Mark Hayward. He's the yo-yo guy, juggler.
Totally,
not high energy, real smart, funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I like his stuff a lot. Yeah, I you know what? I might check out his website and see how he phrases his stuff. Yeah.
How about Slow Burn?
Well, and David...
Slow Burn, yeah. I've heard some people describe, you know, come up to me afterwards and be like, it's almost like a British humor.
Yeah. Well, and this kind of like plays into Carrie Ann's wisdom about you're going to turn people away. So like not every, you want to turn people away with your branding.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, because it is going to be hard to, and especially when people come right out and ask you, is it high energy? Man, your skin must just crawl when you get that.
Yeah, no, my reactions to that have been visceral. Yeah, it's...
Yeah. It's better than high energy. With a high energy show, it's like you smell some cheap fragrance, but with your show...
Yeah.
Like it
basically. Yeah, yeah.
And they remember it like a nightmare.
There's
a yeah. So no, theatrical. I think is a strong way to describe it. Yeah, that's probably a good line to work off of.
I mean, we've all seen these experiences where I've certainly seen a bunch. I won't speak for you, but I've seen a bunch of acts where I think, man, this would be a great 90 seconds. You know, but an hour's gone by. So, you know, maybe that's even what people are front-load protecting themselves from.
Yeah.
You know, there's 90 great seconds in that act.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, let me, I'm going to roll that through the...
Please, yeah, let me know if you come up with anything.
For you. Put it on my notes here.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation, really.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of why I feel like... You know, I posted a video a week or two ago about, like, you know, the not having much street performing experience, you know, and being sort of too used to having very captive audiences where I feel like, oh, I take my time. Mm. I take my time and build the trust, and it's a long, slow burn, you know.
You might look into Ricky Jay too. Ricky Jay would
love Ricky Jay.
Gosh,
and he has a sort of very theatrical,
yes,
storytelling. I mean, his audience.
Or Eugene Berger.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There you go. Eugene Berger.
Yeah. So if I talk with magicians, when I talk with people who know, you know, magic, I'll say I would love to be the Eugene Berger of juggling.
Mm.
Interesting.
You should use that line anyway.
Thank you.
Once a year, someone will get it.
Right, yeah.
But Ricky Jay ends his show with throwing cards into a watermelon. He doesn't start his show with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, because I have, like, you know, Tall Unicycle and a couple of other, you know, big, you know, things in my show that are at the end that I've built to. But, yeah, it's – I'm 50 minutes in at that point, yeah.
50 minutes, yeah.
So.
I'm thinking of something so good he doesn't have to be high energy. Or I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's also is that a lot of the stuff that I'm presenting, you know, like I feel like the sword swallowing, the fire eating, the stuff that's really like exciting stuff. Like I don't want to come on too strong.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to be real understated in the presentation of that. And, you know, dry in the humor.
What about high energy thing? Like don't even reference it unless someone asks you, and just don't use it. Just
no, I absolutely wouldn't. No, I absolutely wouldn't. But I, you know,
juggling is art. You know, like it's,
you know, juggling as the excuse for us to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? It's
okay, in my head, I've got a build of tension or a build of energy rather than – so you get to the energy.
But it's organic.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean, that's my, you know
– We're going to Aristotle there, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. That's the philosophy that's going underneath it, and now we need to approach the marketing that approximates the philosophy.
You know, this really points to meeting buyers where they're at, and if there's not a fit, it's just not going to be a fit. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sure is we're never going to trick anyone to booking us. Certainly not a second time.
But yeah,
and but there are people. I mean, Rasmini Brothers. I don't ever think of us as we were like you know, out of the shoot. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Bang, you know, music, the whole thing. But I guess what we did was we were what Greg's saying, you know, we didn't mention it. We were just, you know, confident in our thing, collected the referrals, and man, just kind of kept going at it. So maybe that's
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, maybe that let the referrals speak for it more than reviews, more than that.
I mean, I look at Bobby and company with his band, you know, that's doing this Latin jazz. It would be like coming out of the gates and saying, you know, we don't rock and roll your crowd or anything, you know, but instead of just being, you know, ultimately proud and standing up for what you do. And that may be the real message here.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's for a higher level intelligence. Maybe it's for a, but you know, time is always of the essence. I was going to say more like a TED crowd, but you know,
I'd love to do a TED show. Yeah. I've said a talk. Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, like 20 minutes into a TED show, they're onto the third speaker. You know, that's
good point.
I think in my marketing, I'm going to start saying I'm not a juggler.
Good point.
Right. Maybe
good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the thinking man sword swallower.
Good conversation though, man. It's a really good one. We can piece in on that as it comes to us.
Cool. Right. Thanks, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, does that spawn anything else for anybody on the creative side? I know Tim asked me last week about the performer special. Man, I got some amazing OKs, some buy-ins for that. So we'll be coming up on that, and we'll talk about the act, which I'm looking forward to. Man, these people we're going to talk to, I'm like, see, I'd like to learn a lot about how you made your act so good. And I'm really grabbing people from very different markets. So we'll have a good smattering. Yeah. Anyone else coming up? John, you booked your one that you were playing with where you maybe thought it was about you for a minute, and that was great. I loved reading that. That was cool.
Yes. Yes, I did. It was good.
Congratulations, man. And you were a great representation for the group. Whenever we think it might be about us, I'm yet to see it be about me either pushing too hard, or the only thing I ever can take credit for 100% is like, I know if I don't get something, it's because I didn't keep going until I got a yes or a no, and somebody else did. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I'm not married to any time limit. If you feel like we've done our work in 90 minutes, that's awesome. I'm happy to turn you guys back loose. Dig into the producer interviews as those come up over the next few days. I think it's in homework for today, actually, or tomorrow.
If there's a lull here.
Please, yeah.
When you were talking about producers, I took some notes here, you know, research, find the big players, be conscious of your branding so that you can be who you are when introducing yourself. And then this was the part that I was just wondering if you could expound on this. You said, propose something in line with what they're selling. I mean, I'm assuming that we're all going after producers that are selling events, and we are all entertainers. So how could we make that a little bit, I don't know, different than, hey, I'm selling my act and solving your needs? Like,
yeah.
How do we find out what they're selling and really speak to that?
Let me pitch out another idea for you guys. I've never really talked about this, but this is a great strategy. Say something happens really big in the news, and Dan over there wants to write some song, you know, has some idea with his comedy brain, has some song about it. You know, being able to pitch something out, let me see, I'll take a note here. Being able to pitch something out, like, think of something that's happening in the news. I mean, I'm the worst news guy in the world. But if something is sweeping an entire industry, to literally find all the key players in that thing, start tagging on Twitter with just some idea about how you can take Balloon, how Sarah could talk about going to new heights, how you know, anyone in this group could put what the outfit that they wear onto that news story. That may be really a powerful strategy for us just attacking something on a bigger stroke instead of one client to you know, one proposal to one client, but hitting the big players in an industry, like when, you know, if there's a safety issue that comes out, a car being recalled, or something that happens like in the infant industry, they find out some, you know, some new food really makes babies smarter or whatever. I just start looking for trends, looking for big news, and just seeing how can we throw what we do onto that story, and how could I commit to putting out 10 proposals to big players in this market and getting the attention of a couple of them, at least have conversations, but maybe best case scenario, if it's really good, creating a bidding war for you to do this. So I would love to see you just, you know, think of it in that way, Tim, is, you know, how do I look at a bigger picture here? And, you know, what, how can I put what I do onto that? Does that help answer? Maybe it went off on a tangent.
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, I like that idea. I thought when you were speaking, you were talking more directly in how we're connecting with a producer. Is that kind gotcha. Of the same as what you're saying, or is there
no? It's oh yeah. So if there is a producer, oh, I think I know what I was talking about. I just heard that this morning. I think maybe it was when I was talking about if you know that a producer does certain types of events, like there's meeting planners that just work in the health industry. There's some that just work for financial planners. And you can find this out by looking at their website and finding out, you know, looking at their client list. Wow, it seems like you work with financial planners. You know, here's something I've learned from teaching kids, you know, over a million kids about money through some assembly I do or through bullying. You know, if there's some way to adapt on, you know, our experience to make it match. I remember hearing that this morning. So yeah.
Okay, that makes
sense. A meeting planner does some. And one of the interviews I has with a woman named Julie Slowway, let me see when her thing's published. I think it may become, Betsy may have these set up all to come out tomorrow. But she worked almost exclusively with the medical industry. So, you know, great person to contact if you have something going on in the medical industry. Or you could put something onto what you're doing that has to do with news in the medical industry or some, the aforementioned baby assignment, you know, some of your clients may be interested in this.
Let's see, if we're starting from scratch on finding meeting planners, are we using LinkedIn or can you Google that, like meeting planner, city?
And yeah, then these are all scheduled to come out today, by the way, or 5 o'clock today. I think they'll be out here tonight, whenever your homework comes out. I'll show you this.
If I can answer that question real quick, Barry.
Please.
Tim, yeah, one thing that was suggested, and I haven't pulled the trigger on this, but I talked with Ted Podromo.
Podromo, right.
Yeah, he was like, get Sales Navigator, or I think it is called still called Sales, and you sign up for a month. You get a month for free, otherwise it's like $80 a month. And you can do really in-depth searches on, say, event planners within this kind of industry. So I was going to do that. You know, to build up to this right now, I'm focusing on some other, but that would be one way to do it, is a real tight selected and do the different ones, special events planners, conference, like you were saying, conference service managers, things like that.
That's great. What's that service called nowadays?
Sales Navigator, I think. Yeah. Is that what it is?
I'm almost sure it's a plugin to LinkedIn.
It is. And it's approved by LinkedIn. So you can do some hard searches and just like Oof. Dump 100 people that are focused in. So that's one of the things. We love Reference USA too, but then that's not as comprehensive. The LinkedIn just seems so much more active and focused right now. But yeah, there's a lot of ways to search it. And thanks, by the way, for putting up what you were looking for with emails too, Tim. That was really helpful. I'm going to research those to do hard mails too, hard piece mail or an email list or something. But Sales Navigator, I think, is what it is. And you can join for a month and then just unsubscribe and now you got stuff.
Yeah, I played
with that. Oh, go ahead, Barry.
No, go ahead, please.
I don't have Sales Navigator, but I've been using LinkedIn just searching for event planners in certain cities and stuff. But so you're saying when you have Sales Navigator, that opens it up a whole lot more and is not necessarily reliant on your level of connection and that kind of a thing?
Yes, correct. you can do more searches and get more, and it's approved by LinkedIn instead of just the slow kind of plotting process of 10 to 15 a day, which is what I've been doing. That's okay too. So you can do 10 or 15 a day or maybe 20 or whatever, but and then it's personalized. You're doing the note and then you're hoping they get back to you. But this is going to give you all kinds of information within that specific niche and condense it. So, I mean, really, we only need about 10, but if I had 10 good event planners working for me and doing their job, man, life would be easy.
Yeah, that's funny. Sales Navigator now looks like maybe LinkedIn has bought it. I mean, it's funny. It used to be a plugin, but now it looks like it's actually part of their system. It's like a level of membership you can buy. Or maybe I'm not looking at the right thing, but that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Ted again and see what he says about that. It's just because he's, it's constantly changing. but that's the version of it there. It, and it's in-house. It's under the umbrella of LinkedIn so that, you know, we don't get...
That'd be interesting if you got that and we're able to share that. Thanks, Dan. Because, yeah, these things do change. You know, they're tightened up as per conversion and, you know, trial. Everything's always shifting on these. So,
yeah. Hey, I have a question that's off topic. And
more
maybe,
on topic?
No, I'm kidding. Maybe I just missed it. Did you mention about something about, like, getting onto the local news stations?
Yes, we're doing that next week. Week 10, we have a whole module on that. Man, and it's so good. It's really, it's one of my big favorite things to talk about. Yeah, let me just see. I think it's here in week 10. I think it's in here where we talked about new. Oh, I can actually look right here. Resources, curriculum. You guys have this resources curriculum, I'm sure. Yeah, TV appearances, week 10. It's really good. We'll dig into that heavily because... You know, honestly, network news still carries a ton of weight. You know, just having network logos under your face, being able to write to your LinkedIn contacts, your past prospects, your, you know, I was just on TV Time. And it doesn't have to be anything heavy. Honestly, you can go to National Holiday Calendar Day. You can have some agenda. You can grab some piece of content. Sarah can talk about, you know, what she does at conferences. We don't even have to be doing it. It's so funny. My first 14 TV shows or maybe even more, I think it was around 14, I kicked actually using my real book, but I just used a fake cover on top of Simon Sinek's Start With Why because that was the size I wanted the book. And man, the host would hold it up. They'd talk about it. It's not even the same cover on my first few. It was just one we kind of made and printed up. But, you know, went on TV shows, and this one woman, I forget, she's hosting the show. She's like, I love what you said in here. And starts to open it. I'm like, oh, God, my brain's just going, no. You know, but they have their notes about it, but starts to open it. I'm going, this is Simon Sinek's book. And then I got to meet Simon Sinek at TED, which was awesome because then I showed him the cover with my book. I knew I was on the same session with him at TED. And I said, hey, I did like 14 TV shows with your book inside my fake cover. He goes, that's the way to do it. So you can do this stuff, but if you have some topic you want to get on and talk about, you know, if you're working with kids, like, you know, Ian and Tim, you guys have these expertise about kids, you know, just to be able to go on and share like three things. But I go into it deeply in that module from a $10,000 course I took in LA. And it was great. It was how to be on TV, how to write segments. And the last 2 days of that thing, really the money with that was, the value in that was we got to pitch producers all of Saturday and Sunday. They had producers lined up on Skype and we got to pitch our shows. But, and this will go for anyone on this call, I was the only person in that room that booked every single producer because, you know, I got a monkey bit.
So I had this gig that I booked earlier in the summer, and I guess this, I should have brought this up earlier under successes because I forgot about it, but they sent me the link to like the page today. It's at a museum in the city.
Oh, cool.
The New York History Museum.
Oh yeah. Nice.
So, you know, I told them I could tie the act into Houdini, and I've had this idea for a while. So when this gig came up, it was like perfect because it forced me to come up with something for it. And
when is the gig?
It's in July.
Okay. And is this, yeah,
I'll put the link in the
chat there.
Chat there. But I thought this would be a good thing to like just try to get on the news about.
It'd be great. Is it a public event?
Yeah, it's at the New York City Museum. It's at the New York City Children's History Museum.
So everybody, like, if you have an opportunity like this that Greg's talking about, just find some way that this ties into the bigger picture so that it's not about the company putting it on and it's not about the venue. But if you can find some other way, like kids need magic in their life or teens are feeling like all the magic has disappeared or, you know, kids think when they read something on Google, they're experts at it. But the truth is the real trained experts did it. You know, I'm appearing at the Magic Museum. I'm talking, but boy, any kind of local and timely hook. I talk about that in the TV thing. Those are the only two things that'll get you on TV faster than anything, local and timely. So, I mean, I would just find out, you know, I'd go to Albuquerque and I did both TV stations there, but I found out the overweight and obesity rate in Albuquerque. It was like, you know, whatever, 72%. But I would just write to the producer and say, hey, the overweight and obesity rate in Albuquerque is 72%. I'm the author of I Love Me More Than Sugar. I'm going to tell your audience three things they can do right now to cut down on the amount of sugar they want. And let's turn those numbers around because that number's out of control. And boom, they watch my little thing and they say, when can you be here? And I'll tell you, going into this, man, New York is a big freaking market. You know, it's like number one or two probably in the country. So you may not do it. You may not land it there, but there may be a smaller station in New Jersey, or there may be something in, you know, and I don't want to rule it out. I want you to pitch that to every New York station, you know, once we get the right segment proposal. And you'll see that you got a little time on this thing. And news books anywhere from, you know, they don't even want to hear about you 2 weeks away.
Right.
They want to hear about you, you know, 2 weeks to a day or a couple days before. That's when they're looking for
you. Well, I know we'll get into this more, but do you send it to them beforehand just to give them let them know it's happening, or just wait until?
No, and you guys are going to love that I started talking about phone calls early, and Sarah can maybe give us training in this, but every bit of TV news pitch is done on the phone. You call them at like 3 a.m, or you call them when they first get to work to prepare that days, and you get them, and you call them on the phone, and I walk you through the entire pitch of exactly what you say, how you say it, you know, the attitude and the voice. But they have a certain way. And then there's you can look at this. Take a peek at this. This is actually a sugarfreeberry.com. This is my producer page for when I'm going to go on a TV show. But here you'll see my segment proposals. You can model these. I mean, just come in here and breaking up with sugar. This is one of the segments I do. But this is exactly what it needs to look like. Like, don't vary from this at all. This is straight from the Bible of getting on news. You got your segment proposal up here. Available for in-studio interviews, your title here. This isn't on here twice. This is just because it's WordPress. But if you have a PDF, like I have a PDF of this, you always have a PDF on the page as well. Available for in-studio, breaking up with sugar. And in the first one you'll have, let me make this a little bigger for you guys. This is where you'll have your fact, your indisputable fact. And yours will be different no matter what you're working on. You'll have one. And then you have your expert statement. You know, and this is according to Barry Friedman. We are bribed, rewarded, and punished with sugar since birth, and that's why we're all addicted. In this third paragraph, you have what your audience is going to see. They're going to come away with three simple things. And then you have kind of what makes you different here. This is your juggling demonstration, or you're going to use a prop or something. So I say I'm going to talk about the difference between added sugar and natural sugar and the importance of exercise. And I'm going to juggle an 8-pound bowling ball, the amount of sugar Americans eat in 3 weeks, a tennis racket and an apple while eating the apple. And then this is something you always have to put in, but no one cares. But it's like a secret code that tells them you know how to be on TV.
Right.
This is like celebrities who live sugar-free for mine. You know, or yours would be like celebrities who love magic or who practice magic. And you just have a little list of them there.
Cool.
And then, a magic formula or an expert formula, whatever you're going to do, like Sarah's thing to go on and talk about, you know, it may be like a cap or something, you know, or like you're going to talk about the cap that women have in corporate America and how you break above it by doing this trick. I mean, it would be way awesome to do that, but you just have to have some formula, because they're going to put this on the screen while you're talking.
Is it all going to be in that module?
Yes, I go through this in depth, and I really talk about the scripts and what we do and who we talk to.
I want to watch it now.
Oh my gosh! I want to bring up the clip of Veruca Salt saying, "Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa now." It's my favorite clip from Willy Wonka. So,
hey, Barry, I got a question about TV stuff.
What's that, Sarah?
It's kind of a tangential question, but about seeing things in the news. This isn't quite as relevant, but for example, all the news stations are covering the island I'm from right now because there's this volcano exploding.
No kidding.
Is that like,
oh, that guy pulled the gun?
Enough of a connection to be like, hey, news channel, look at the good things happening from Hawaii. Doop-de-doop-de-doop.
Yes, that would be so good, because they always need something to go out on. You know, Faith Amour, she's a Shubha's Blueprint alumni. She's so awesome. But she's from this little tiny island, Grenada, somewhere. Let me see what she posted. Because you'll see. How do I do
that? Are you from the place where the guy pulled the gun?
I don't think so. Oh, because people wouldn't move away from the lava?
Yeah, but it was like his neighbor.
No, I'm from an hour north of there, but my family moved to like half an hour. We live like right outside the park boundary where all this is happening. So we're right above the volcano.
Jeez. Glad you're all right.
Yeah. So Faith did this something, and it was like part of the, shoot, I don't have a good take on this. Let me share her story in the follow-up, though. I'll put it in my notes. But she went down to this little island where she was from, and it's in the Caribbean somewhere. But it was about the, dang it, it wasn't the Me Too, but it was something kind of, shoot, it was some special day. Anyway, this is exactly what I want to show you, and I'll find it on here. Let me just put on my notes here, Faith. But she took this thing that was in the news right then. She's from the island, the exact same thing you're talking about, put this little song concert together, got flown down there, and got to be like on all the radio stations, all the news, became like a huge celebrity, and think got a check for it too, to go down to this island where her family was from and do this concert, because it did exactly connected the dots of a timely situation. So what's happening? Is something blowing up in, you guys are, I didn't just tell you to not watch the news. I actually don't do it. But is something blowing up in Hawaii?
There's been an active volcano there for decades, but every few decades, it'll start to take over a neighborhood. And so right now the eruptions have been getting really big and have gone through just like a whole neighborhood.
Right. So your job in that, you know, our job and our job also often as entertainers, I remember the shows after 9/11, it was like our job was to make it okay. You know, to find some reason to go on. So yours may be, you know, some of the good things that are coming from that, or, you know, lessons learned from the power of nature, or, yeah, I don't know what it is exactly. We could brainstorm some of that out. But yeah, having that local timely connection might be wonderful. And there may be something wonderful for you to even get to the news stations or do, you know, from living literally on the other side of the country, you know, now from where that's happening. But what's the perspective of a native, you know, from who's, you know, what, 6,000, 7,000 miles away now? And is there something you can add to give people either hope or some ideas or, you know, some action they can take in the face of crisis? So that's always our job, you know, to use our superpowers for good, as David Atkins says. Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't been watching the news either, but that I heard about.
Yeah, I mean, I see little things on Facebook every once in a while. It's so funny, you know, and just go, oh, yeah, that's happening. Okay, let's see. Anyone else have something they want to dig into?
Barry, I'm, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm driving right now, so I don't have the video up, but, I just want to chime in. My wife used to work in TV news. She was a producer for Philadelphia years ago. And so every once in a while, she will nudge me towards like, hey, you should, you know, pitch a story when like when Ringling Brothers closed.
Right. Of course. That was a great time for all
of us. She was like, okay, you've got a window of like 2 days here. And I was like, I'm booked for both of those 2 days. Like, can I do it after? She's like, no. You've got 2 days.
That's it.
Where this is relevant, and that's it. It's gone. I was like, I can't do it. But right. But it wrote itself. You know, she was like, you go on and say, no, the circus isn't dying. It's changing. You know, 100 years ago, if you wanted music, you saw a big band of 40 people. Today, if you want circus, you can't have a three-ring circus. That's not viable anymore. Now, you have a one-man sideshow.
Yep. And there were a couple of Showbiz Blueprint alumni who did that when the circus was closing. Steve Russell, Greg Frisbee, a handful of people in there are Ringling alumni, you know, and they perfect. Took the chance to put together a segment proposal, and you know, got to jump on and have some airtime with that. And it's a really important piece of our work as entertainers is to get out there and make things good again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny, we can look at that thing and say, oh, I don't want that responsibility. But my word to that is always opportunity, not responsibility, right? Yeah, it's a great opportunity. So I was trying to find something for you guys, but I'll have to post it in the follow-up. You know, another thing Faith did, and this is really cool, she applied a whole bunch of what she learned in Showbiz Blueprint to her love of Ella Fitzgerald. And a year or so ago was Ella Fitzgerald's, I think, 100th birthday. And she really put together this amazing concert. I was just trying to find this, but she did a whole tour in a... inspirational to watch her really run this thing out and play it. And I, you know, I encouraged her, as I do, to swing for the big fences. And that takes a full-time thing. And she was a teacher at the time, you know, teaching. So she didn't really get to go all out on it. But what you find out is when you swing for the biggest fences possible, you end up getting a double or a triple. And that's pretty cool. I'm seeing here she did some new stuff. So anyway, that's this was it. This was a good post. Yeah, a year-long tribute to Ella Fitzgerald ended tonight, where it started downtown Toronto. Such a beautiful crowd. Yeah. So a year of celebrating Ella Fitzgerald's 100th birthday. But, you know, that was something in the news. It was something that was a big event. And she thought, you know, how can I connect my love of my ability to perform into sharing this? So that's what a lot of this is about. Cool, all you crazy kids. We complete. I'll leave a few seconds. Yeah, thanks, Dan. I got your thing coming later. Anyone feels really stuck on something, please drop the emails to me. Use the group. You know, whatever level of support you need. Doesn't go away in 2 weeks. There's still a lot more coming for this thing. Alumni group is huge. I someone asked me, do am I involved still? And I spend about a half hour a day in the alumni group. It's incredible. And it's, I love that place. It's my favorite place on the internet. So nothing's going away. We will have a lot of stuff sorted between refrigerator and freezer at that point, though. And where, you know, how we can go in and say, I'm going to thaw this for now and start using it. I'm excited you guys are here. All right.
Yeah, I will do everything at once, you know. It's hopeless.
Dude, it's, oh my gosh, is it a lot at once?
I want to do everything at once.
Was that Hans?
Yeah.
I wasn't looking. Yeah, man. How about that? It's you have the energy too. I know. I see it in you. You have the energy to do it all at once. All right, guys. Well, good. I'll sign out. Get the replay up there for those who didn't make it. Welcome, and see you in the group. Keep posting. Keep challenging yourself. Let me just end this by saying, just to challenge yourself, at least find one or two times this week to just go, okay, this is the one that I want to say I did on next week's live call. Like, this is the one that scares the shit out of me. And in a week, I want to be able to say, I picked it up and here's what happened. Because there is so much waiting for us. There's so many people who need what we can bring to them. And they're sitting there just going, what am I going to do? You know, they're lost. They're staring at their screen. They have no idea really how they're going to make it happen. So find those places, you know, maybe it's something we talked about today. Maybe it's something that's big that's happening in the news. Maybe it's a tragedy, a crisis, a revelation, a merger of two companies, a meeting planner who's at their wit's end because they've done the meeting for a company for 20 years and they don't know what they're going to do. Just find something. Take a big risk this week. I will celebrate a no as big as a yes with you guys next week, and I look forward to doing all of that. So, you know, it's funny, my partner, and with the story, I was talking to him. I haven't seen him since we did our last show a year and a half ago, believe it or not, after 34 years of seeing him every week.
You know it was your last show?
We did. We celebrated it November 4th of 2016. But yeah, we pulled the plug on that, and I hadn't seen him, and we talked the other day, and we were talking about, I said, you know, what are you up to? What kind of stuff are you doing? And he goes, this line, he goes, you know, I'm doing exactly what I would have done for 34 years if I didn't meet you. And he's just like doing some little festivals and doing, doesn't need money. He's totally, I mean, he doesn't need anything, but he's literally just, you know, like, I'm doing the exact shows that I did when I was 20, when I met you. And, you know, and what I attributed that to was I was just always taking risks. I just always just said, what's the biggest thing we can do? What's the crazy thing? What's the thing that I'd love to hear somebody say, no, we're not doing that from? And a lot of the times people say yes. So, all right. On that, you guys have a great week. Write in, check in. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.